Hello, Governor.
Hello, Doctor. We need doctors.
We sure do. It's amazing how many doctors have come forward when you ask them to out of retirement and put themselves in harm's way, isn't it?
I tell you, Alan, in all the ugliness of today, it's amazing how beautiful people have been. The doctors who have come forward, the nurses who have come forward, those mental health professionals from around the country who said they would volunteer to help people with mental health discussions via electronic means. I would tell you, it's really heart-touching.
Yeah, it's enough to make you cry. It really is incredible. I see everywhere I go, people talking about you and saying, God, this guy is so good. I mean, I know you don't take that kind of thing well, but, you know, there's a poll out now, an incredible poll. I just saw it. 870 registered New York City voters, and by Change Research, and was commissioned by ARENA, a national progressive organization formed by former campaign staffers to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And you know what? They have you at doing an incredible job. 73% approval rating. Do you ever think you'd see 73% approval rating?
Well, one time I had a high approval rating, but then I did the right thing on the SAFE Act with guns. I'll tell you what's nice about it. It's nice that I feel that I can be helpful to people now. And to the extent I'm giving them a sense of comfort or confidence, that's important because that's precious right now. You know, no one knows what's going on. They don't know the facts on this. You turn on the TV, you get a whole different version. So a big part of being governor, I think, is especially at times of crisis, that you can give people information. They trust the information they're getting from you. They feel that somebody's in charge and that there's a plan and that plan is being executed. I think it gives them a sense of hope and control, which is very important. As opposed to, you know, the polls, Alan, you've known me a long time. I am not doing anything different than I have done all my life, right? And someone like yourself who knows me and has watched me, I do what I do, right? This is it's the same process for me. But to the extent it helps people now, I'm happy.
Well, people need you now. They did a poll. I shouldn't start this kind of thing. I'm ashamed of myself. But on de Blasio, who only had over 73%, he had 40% approval rating. So people think you're doing the right thing. I tell you, you're in the right place. It's the right time. And no matter what you say, no matter how aw shucks you do, people are astounded by how well you are doing and what you mean to this country at this time. And it's really extraordinary to me. I'm very pleased. And it led me to say something on the air the other day, which maybe got me into a little trouble for change. And that is that you really ought to be the vice presidential nominee. To me, right now, Joe Biden has promised a woman. There is no question he said he would. But we are in extraordinary times. People are facing death. One guy stood up, gets a 73% approval rating, and is seen as the guy who really has shown remarkable executive ability. So I'm just suggesting, and I know a few people got mad at me for this, that you be the vice presidential nominee, and that he has an out. And his out is, hey, look who's doing this work right now, and look who's doing this. How do you take to that, Governor?
Yeah, first, you're kind, but I don't want to be vice president. I told the people of the state of New York I wanted to be governor, and I said I would serve as governor, and that's what I want to do. Second, with the aw shucks, it's not aw shucks, and you can relate to this. I said this to someone the other day. My father is Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, then becomes governor. He's governor for a tough campaign. He's governor for 2 years. He gives the National Democratic Convention speech, 1984. Speech goes over very big. And then from then forth, by the way, he's the great speech maker. And he would say to me on a number of occasions, I don't understand this. I gave the same speech all my life. I never changed. I then give the convention speech, and all of a sudden, I'm a great speech maker. I gave the same exact speech before the convention speech, in campaigns, et cetera. It's not like he was speaking in a closet. But now I give the keynote speech, and all of a sudden, I'm a great speech maker.
And yet, Walter Cronkite, as he got off the podium, said, I'll never forget it, there's the next president of the United States. Amazing.
Yes, but it was the same speech. And it was the same speech. And I said to my father at the time, God rest his soul, I said, yeah, but you gave it to a bigger audience at a different time.
That's right.
And the speech didn't change, but the audience and the time changed. And I think that's what this is, Alan. You watched me. I'm not doing anything different than I've done, you know, whatever the situation is, whether it's a snowstorm or Superstorm Sandy or, you know, I perform the way I perform in the job, the way I think it should be done. I haven't changed anything. It's just the audience and the time has changed. That's the only difference.
Well, FDR was governor. FDR ran for president of the United States. I think people don't know that Hoover was extremely, the Republicans were extremely popular. Let me ask you, if I may, because we're sort of running out of time already. I want to ask you about the way in which your relationship with the president is unfolding. Seems to me that you have been loath to say anything personally bad about the president. You may criticize the federal administration, you may criticize what's happening, but you haven't said anything really personally bad about the president. Am I right about that?
This is not politics, and politics has no place right now. And I said to the president directly what I'll say to you. I said, look, If the federal government lives up to its responsibility and helps my state the way it should, because this is a war, the federal government does have a national responsibility. This is not every state on its own. If you do the right thing by New York, I'll be the first one to say you did the right thing by New York. And by the way, if New York needs help that the federal government should respond to, and they're not, I will say that too. And I've done both, Alan.
Yes,
when the president has delivered, I've said that. The other day when the federal government, I don't believe, was meeting their obligation, I said that. And that's what I'm going to continue to do.
So if Joe Biden came to you, just to pursue this for a minute, and said, yes, I know I said I was going to have a woman as the vice presidential candidate, but you've shown yourself to be so remarkable, so in charge in New York. CNN has laid their hands on you and said, you know, you're going to be on every day, you know, for an hour as the answer. Would you turn it down? You would say to him, Joe, I don't want to be vice president.
CNN laid their hands on a different Cuomo for an hour every day.
Not true.
I'm flattered that our briefings do get covered. And I think that's just because, you know, people want information, and we are we are New York, right? Part of that is we are New York, and whatever New York does always gets attention. And we do have a serious problem. But no, I don't want to be vice president, Alan. I said that to you. You know, nothing has changed. I've said it all along. I didn't run for president. I said that I want to be the best governor I can be, and I won't have a lot to do here, and that's what I'm focused on, and that's what I'm going to do, and nothing's changed.
So this is Sherman-esque, right? If nominated, I will not serve. Or is this the kind of thing that politicians, you're a politician, say, you know, that until you don't go to the prom until you're asked, and you say, I wouldn't go with that guy for anything until somebody asks you to go, right? Am I off base on that?
No, it's your normal, provocative, somewhat cynical, somewhat pessimistic poking and prodding, which I have missed. I have been wholly consistent. Are you going to run for president? No. Oh, is that Sherman Esker? Yes. I'm not going to run for president. This one is running for president, and this one, and you're the senior Democratic governor, and you get it. I'm not going to run for president. I didn't run for president. I don't want to be vice president. I want to be the best governor I can be, and I want to make a meaningful difference in this state. That's my ambition.
Talk to me a little bit, Governor, in the few minutes we have left here, about the coronavirus and, you know, your sense of personal responsibility. Look, people are dying all over the place. You got this Elmhurst Hospital thing, I believe it was Elmhurst. You got these other things. This has to weigh pretty heavily on you. Who do you talk to about that? Who do you go to?
There's nobody to go to. I have my daughter Cara here with me, and she's helping, and I love that. It's the way I was with my father when I was his special assistant, and we got Tim Russert to be the press secretary, and she's here the way I was for my father. There's nobody to go to. I feel it. I feel the responsibility weighs heavily. People are dying. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm trying to do everything I can do. I'm working 24 hours a day. I've been in public service for many years. I think I know how to help, but I can't stop it. I cannot stop it. And it hurts me. And, you know, you talk about the poll says this, the poll says that. I look at that death count, and it breaks my heart. And that's what those are the numbers I'm watching, not the poll numbers. Maybe there's nothing that anyone could do, Alan, but I'm sitting in the seat, and I'm in charge, and I'm supposed to be doing everything that can be done to save lives. Mm-hmm. And I wish I was saving more lives. That's what those are the numbers I look at.
Talk to me about what the feds could or should be doing right now. I mean, you've been kind of angry in terms of ventilators, other things. Do you think they have the capacity, or do you think they're just being who they are?
No one saw this coming this way. There'll be a retrospective. You watch China, should you have known, blah, 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 blah. But that'll be for a different day. Right now, they don't have these ventilators, so everybody is in a scramble. And these ventilators are the matter of life and death for many. Many people will die anyway, even if you get the ventilators, because the people with the underlying illness, this is pneumonia. And this is like the old days. Remember when someone was in the hospital, they always died of pneumonia. Yeah. Yeah, but it was pneumonia plus heart disease, pneumonia plus emphysema, pneumonia plus cancer. And that's what this is. But it's now a question of how good are you at operating government in a crisis and making it work and making it do things it never did and never thought it needed to do. We're good at that here in New York. And that's what the federal government is working through. How do you find hundreds of thousands of ventilators? It's not easy. How do you deploy them all across the country? How do you deploy FEMA? I believe that the president is making every effort to help. The question that remains is, are we successful in finding these ventilators?
Now this president has been pretty good about not taking you on in his press briefings. But we know when he talks to his crowds and other stuff, or to his people, I don't know how many crowds he speaks to these days, you know, you come up as the adversary. Look, I happen to believe this president has a working philosophy. If he's not me, he's no good. So, how does that feel when you get a report that he said something cruel about you?
Look, nobody's been as critical of this president as I have. I have on all of these instances, whether it's the border or SALT or non-cooperation with the infrastructure projects. So it doesn't surprise me. He doesn't like to be attacked. Most people don't. His style is you attack me, I attack you twice as hard. I understand that. But that's what I've done for from the day he got into office. But I think we're at a different time here. It's not a political time, I represent New York. We have a problem. He wants to make sure he's responsive to New York. He knows that's his responsibility. And in this situation, Alan, if he delivers for New York, I'll say it. If he doesn't, I'll say it. And that, by the way, not just him. That was with the Congress, with that $2 trillion bill they passed, disregarding that New York State is basically bankrupt. And when a state is bankrupt, either I have to raise taxes or slash education funding. And I said that, and I'll speak to that at another time. Now is not the time for a political division.
Although you do have to come up with a budget, and you're billions of dollars down.
Yeah, and you're going to see education cut all across this state.
Sure.
And everybody says that's my top priority. When you cut the state budget, it's not like you're cutting my personal budget. You know I'm 4 days away from doing the state budget. The funding they provided for the state was only for COVID-related expenses. You know I have no income. Where did you think I was going to fund education, which is one of the largest parts of the budget? And then at a time when it's not supposed to be political, the way they did this budget, states that, frankly, have very few COVID cases got proportionately much more than the state of New York. South Dakota got almost 18% of their state budget as in this budget. You know, Wyoming, that had like 40 COVID cases, gets 17% of their state budget. We get 1.9%. I mean, it made no sense on any need basis. And I said today, this was not the time to play politics. And it's not about excuses. I did the best I can. You know, now was the time to deliver. You deliver or you don't deliver. You perform or you don't perform.
You said that to Nancy Pelosi? I mean, you know, she gave quite a dramatic speech this morning, but she was half of the deal. Have you said to her you could have done better for New York?
I spoke to her about this several times. And a private conversation is private, but she said that the budget didn't help state and local governments. And she was, the bill didn't help state and local governments. Yeah. And she was right. But, you know, we have a senior senator. Anyway, that's for another day.
It is. So we only have 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you, I know you have, I have Murray the dog, and you have Captain the dog. How important is the dog in your life?
Captain the dog. You know, I have dueling reports on whether or not a dog can get coronavirus.
Yeah, there are two different views of that. That's right.
Yeah, they go back and forth on that.
Do you kiss him? Do you kiss your dog?
Some people say that a dog can get coronavirus, but yes, I have Captain, I have my daughter Kara, who's working with me. I have my daughter Michaela, who's here with me. So they are just a tremendous, tremendous support.
Yeah. But do you let the dog lick your face?
Oh, I let the dog lick my face. I love the dog. The dog loves me. I love the dog. Yes.
I get
great comfort. We have great conversations also, the dog and myself. He understands me, Al. The dog understands me.
I get it. Murray the dog tells me what to say and what to do. There's no question. So one last question, and that is how come you came on? I mean, you know, you're the man of the moment. You're everywhere. You're on CNN. You're in the New York Times. What do you need this for? I mean, it's so flattering, I'll be honest with you, to have you, but extraordinary that you're doing it. And I am very grateful. And so are the people of WAMC land. I know that.
Two reasons. Because my priority is New York, and you're an important outlet for the people of New York. And second, I missed your attacking me, Alan. It felt funny. Nobody taking cheap shots, nobody probing, nobody prodding. I missed it. Call me a masochist.
Call me a shill. Governor Cuomo, thank you so much for being with us. We really are flattered, and we hope you'll come back.
Be safe, be healthy, you and doctor, and everyone else. Be smart, be safe, be healthy.
You too.
Thank you.